Guys, welcome back to my podcast. I actually was planning on doing day two tomorrow, but seeing that it is 12:34 a.m., I guess I could do it now. I had someone who actually messaged me asking me to go farther because they were interested. So I'm just going to jump right into A Martha World, which is the section of this book. For those of you who are just tuning in and it's your first time, I'm doing a Bible study on having a Mary heart in a Martha world. It's by Joanna Weaver. You do not need the book to follow along. I will be saying everything on here, and if you're interested in it, you can get it on Amazon, or I believe they have it at some Christian stores. Okay, so when I read the first part of Mary and Martha's story, I must admit I find myself cheering for Martha. I know we tend to sing Mary's praises in Bible studies, but Martha, to be honest, appeals more to my perfectionist tendencies. Now, as Joanna Weaver says that in her book, I completely agree. I don't know how many of you are type A personalities, but I know I definitely am. What a woman. She opens her home to a band of 13 hungry men, possibly even more. What a hostess. She doesn't whip up an impromptu casserole of Kraft macaroni and cheese and ballpark Franks, as I've been known to do on occasion. Not her. She is original Martha Stewart, the New Testament's Proverbs 31 woman, and Israel's answer to Betty Crocker. Or at least that's the way I imagine her. She's the queen of the kitchen and the rest of the house as well. I actually know a couple people like that. I have some family members who just, they really do a great job hosting, but they look like they're so busy the whole time, and it's just, they're not really getting to enjoy their company. So as Luke's story goes on with Martha in all her glory, and this is Jesus that we're talking about, okay? So she scrapes her ordinary everyday menu of soup or bread and pulls out her cookbooks. This, she decides, will be a banquet fit for Messiah, for the Messiah. Martha sends one servant to the field to slaughter a lamb, another to the market to pick up a few of those luscious pomegranates she saw yesterday, and like a military general, she barks commands to her kitchen staff, soak the lentils, pound the grain, knead the dough. So many things to do in so little time. Now, that line right there is one, if you have the book, I would highlight it. So many things to do in so little time. I remember hearing that so much as I was growing up. My mother always said, I believe it was, she said something along the lines of, I have 50 trillion things to do today. 50 trillion was her main number of things she had to get done. And she didn't have enough time in a day to get it done, so she barely slept, and she still does it. But I think because I grew up around that, I take that on myself. So, once again, so many things to do and so little time. She must make sure the centerpiece and the napkins match and that the servant pours the wine from the right, not the left. Martha's mind is as busy as a room filled with kindergartners. What would be just right for dessert? A little goat cheese with a tray of fresh fruit? Will Jesus and his followers stay overnight? Someone must change the sheets and fold some towels. Where's Mary? Has anyone seen Mary? She asks as a servant scurries by. If Mary changed the sheets, Martha might have time to fashion an ark for the cheese and carve the fruit into little animals marching two by two. Production of this magnitude requires a skill of a master planner, and Martha's an administrator extraordinaire, a whirling dervish of efficiency, with a touch of Tasmanian she-devil thrown in to motivate the servants. My poor husband, I know that I put it through. I put him through it because I ask him to do little things in the kitchen thinking that that one task will cut down on the time of all the other things that I have to get done. I'm sure a lot of you do that as well. So I happen to be the oldest in the family. Perhaps that's why I understand frustrated Martha must have felt when she finally found Mary. The entire household is in an uproar, busy making ready to entertain, the most famous teacher of their day, the man most likely to become the next king of Israel. I can relate to the anger that boils up inside of Martha at the sight of her lazy siblings sitting at the master's feet in the living room. It's simply too much. With everything still left to do, there sits little Mary, being quite contrary, crashing a party meant for only men. But worse, she seems oblivious to all of Martha's gesturing from the hall. Martha tries clearing her throat. She even resorts to her most effective tool, the evil eye, famous for stopping grown men in their tracks. And I know all of you ladies have one. But nothing she does has an effect on her baby sister. Mary only has eyes for Jesus. Pushed to the limit, Martha does something unprecedented. She interrupts the boys' club, certain that Jesus will take her side. After all, a woman's place is in the kitchen. Her sister Mary should be helping prepare the meal. Martha realizes there is a cutting edge to her voice, but Jesus will understand. He of all people knows what it's like to carry the weight of the world. So there, you know, Martha goes thinking that she carries the weight of the world on her as well, and that Jesus should understand that. Now, of course, you won't find all of this in the Bible, but Luke tends to downplay this entire story, dedicating only 4 verses to an event that was destined to change Martha's life forever. And mine as well, and yours, if you let the simple truth of this passage soak deep into your heart. Instead of applauding Martha, Jesus gently rebukes her, telling her Mary has chosen what is better. Or, as another translation puts it, Mary has chosen better in the NRSV. The better part, Martha must have echoed incredulously. The better part, I say to God in the midst of my own whirl of activity, you mean there's more? I have to do more? No, no, comes the answer to my tired heart. Jesus' word in Luke 10 are incredibly freeing to those of us who are on the performance treadmill of life. It isn't more he requires of us. In fact, it may be less. So I hope that you learned a lot from this. It's amazing that it's such a small bit of the Bible, but it carries such weight for us women. It isn't more he requires of us. In fact, it may be less. He wants us to be the best version of ourselves possible, not perfect. And he wants us to enjoy him and be in his presence. And it's a beautiful thing. There are so many different translations to this part. The NRSV has it, the King James Bible. If you have multiple Bibles, it may be beneficial for you to take them and look at how the translations are so different, you know, and you can pick up a lot from it. Well, I just hope that all of you have really enjoyed this second subtext, and my next one on day 3 will be A Merry Heart, and we'll get a little bit more into Mary and how life works for a Mary versus a Martha. Thank you, and God bless you all.